Do you believe in the power of manifestation, abundance, and attracting what you want into your life? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but our guest today, Rebecca Whitman, certainly is an advocate for attraction and for abundance, and she talks about that today around her various programs in which she helps women to become empowered and abundant both in life and in business. But we're also going to dig into how she's managed to create 5 streams of income, how she managed to safeguard herself, not only through the growing of her businesses, but through losing income during the lockdowns and the pandemic, and also how she is using her skills and her passion for manifestation and abundance to not only have found her own soulmate, but also helping other women to do the same. Really lovely conversation with an amazing lady, Rebecca Whitman, today, all the way from Venice Beach in Los Angeles. I had such a good time on this show. I know I say that every week, but this week I truly, truly mean it more than ever. Amazing conversation, guys. I really hope you enjoy. Here she is, Rebecca Whitman, on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to the Coaches to the Moon podcast, ladies and gentlemen, heading over to sunny Venice Beach, California today, or indeed this evening, or yesterday evening, as it is for Rebecca, our guest today, Rebecca Whitman, who currently is the IAOTP, that is the International Association of Top Professionals, Life Coach of the Year. What a mouthful. I'm very proud of myself for getting that one out. But Rebecca is also a top success mentor at Balance, Beautiful and Abundant, and a host of the podcast of the same name. What a pleasure it is to have you here today, Rebecca. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Alex, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. I'm sorry that for anyone watching the video right now, I am about 3 hours away from a haircut, I promise. I look like a total mess, but I have the blessing of growing lots of hair on my head and face, and Rebecca's got me right at looking at the peak of disheveledness, but that's okay. You look fantastic, Rebecca, very shiny necklace, and you look radiant, abundant, and just happy. I guess that's what you're giving out to the world these days, hey?
I am. I believe that success is measured by the amount of joy one feels.
What a beautiful definition.
Thank you. And I'm feeling very joyous lately. I'm a newlywed, almost 2 years into a new marriage to my soulmate. And I did have a heartbreaking loss of a chocolate lab last fall, and I wanted to grieve, and I knew I would get a black lab this summer, and we just got a black lab puppy 2 weeks ago, and she's just healing my heart and bringing me so much joy right now.
Dogs are just, we don't deserve dogs, do we?
No, they are too good for us.
I've got 3-year-old twin daughters, and we keep talking about when are we going to get a dog, because my wife and I always grew up with dogs, and in separate houses. We did not grow up together, it's a big conversation getting a dog, you know, like it's another massive amount of responsibility, but I'm so excited for you to have that one. And I'm excited about your thriving marriage, and we'll get into that in a moment. Your manifest, your soulmate program, which I'm really excited about. Something else I'm excited about, Rebecca, to ask you. You're in your office right now, you mentioned, doing this show, yeah?
Yes.
When you were setting up your camera, I noticed a few posters in the background. Everything from The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody to High School Musical 3. Can you please tell us why on earth you have these pictures framed on your wall?
Okay, so I teach what I do. I teach people not to quit your job, to have multiple streams of income, and to have a side hustle. So I currently have 5 streams of income, and one of them is I am the director of admissions at a children's acting school in Hollywood. So I am at the children's acting school. These are movie posters that are for kids, and I'm about to do an interview for a bunch of kids as soon as this podcast ends.
Amazing. So you're casting kids for the next role on Disney or something after this, yeah?
Well, it's a school, so we train kids for the camera. And the coach that I work with, Gary Spatz, has trained a lot of famous people like Ryan Gosling, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake, Dove Cameron, and the list goes on and on. So I'm looking for the next child star tonight.
My goodness, that's great. Because everyone you just mentioned, they were all kind of Mickey Mouse Club people, weren't they, back in the day? Yeah. It's funny how, okay, let's meld your two worlds together for a second, if I may, Rebecca. Ryan Gosling seems like a pretty well put together guy. So does Justin Timberlake. So does Christina Aguilera. A lot of these child stars do not seem so well put together. And I do send my heart out to young Britney Spears because she doesn't seem like she's in a very good way. Knowing abundance, happiness, joy, success as you do, do you see any traits or similarities between the child stars who actually turn out relatively well adjusted and the ones who seem to struggle so much with it?
Well, I say it has to do with the parents, because when the parents are using the child as an ATM machine, like Britney Spears' parents were, it messes up with the kid's mind. It messes with the kid's mind. And also, I think having really low expectations of the kid, like this is something that you're doing for fun. If it stops being fun, you don't have to do it anymore, versus intense pressure for the kid to perform. And then it just, you know, it has to do with luck. Like if you're surrounded by the right handlers, managers, coaches, that can also help child stars not to become dysfunctional adults. But yeah, it is sad what's happening with Britney. She's just filed divorce. Her husband filed divorce. She's not talking to her kid. She's doing like, you know, sexy, like half nude videos on Instagram every day. It's really sad.
Bit rough. Yeah. But that's really interesting. Just basically having a lower expectation on the kids. If you're having fun doing this, amazing. When it stops being fun, we stop. I guess that could be so tricky because, you know, much like having a career that maybe you got into just for some money and then you buy a house, then you buy a car, you find yourself just constantly playing catch up. There's no way of getting out of that job because you're kind of, one of my friends described it as you feel like you're constantly running downhill and you can't stop when you've got debts accumulating. I feel like that could be an easy trap to fall into for a parent of a child superstar, for sure. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the multiple streams of income thing for a second to help people avoid that trap, because in the coaching space, in the very hypey, sometimes Tony Robbins, you got to burn the boats, no plan B style space, what you're saying of keep your job and start a side hustle isn't the most popular and sexy thing to talk about. But I you know, have my own thoughts about it, which I'll reveal after you. So why do you believe that's such a good idea to keep your job while you start your side hustle rather than just going all in and giving it everything you've got?
I believe that when people are maxing out their credit cards, they are, you know, like exactly to quote Tony Robbins, you got to burn the boats to take the island, go all in, put yourself in a do or die situation. They are losing consistency, they're losing security. And when they try to sell and enroll someone in whatever they're doing, product, good, or service, they are coming from a desperate position. Like if this person does not buy my product, I won't eat. I won't be able to take care of my family. And people are so sales averse these days. People have been oversold too many times and they just smell salesy. I call it commission breath. They just smell that kind of desperate salesy or Pamela Spamela sending the hey girl or hey dude messages. So if you are genuine and you really care about someone and you connect with them, you feel like you have a solution and you can help them, then you're coming from contribution rather than desperation. And people can sense that and you will build your personal brand and build a business organically. It might take longer than a quick flash in the pan, but you also will be able to sustain it because we know doing business digitally requires certain kinds of software and programs and assistants, and all that takes money. And before you start making money with your business, you can actually use one of your main jobs or your main job to invest back in your side hustle so that you have all the right accoutrement to get it going.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. I've been through that myself when I was, well, I've been having a go at online businesses from about the age of 24 up until where I'm at now, which is the wrong side of 31, if I may say, Rebecca. Every time I quit my job, put my back against the wall, did the thing, I couldn't make decisions logically. It was making decisions emotionally. And I grew my business to the best places when I had a part-time or full-time job, just making coffee, managing restaurants. You know, I was a chef for ages, so I'd take like low commitment chef jobs, like in a hamburger restaurant, that sort of thing. And I always did better in business because you can just, you know, make those decisions from what you said, out of contribution and collaboration rather than commission breath, which is a hilarious term that I want to keep using. So good. So good.
Bring it to Australia, Alex. Bring it to Australia.
I will. I 100% will. I've got a sales team for my business, and these guys are all so softly spoken. They're just chill. I've never heard them talk fast or raise their voice or ever sound like they need anything, which is really interesting. So I think they resonate really well with the way we like to do business. Do you have a horror story or a reason why you went down the path of maintain your job while you start your six-figure side hustle?
I have one, and my friend has one. So
talk about it.
My friend's is way more dramatic. So when we were 20, in our 20s, we did a network marketing business, which I'm not bashing the industry at all. I'm really happy in a network marketing business right now. It's one of my side hustles. But this one, they told you, like, max out your credit cards, like, dig up grandma, sell her gold crowns, like, do whatever it takes to, like, stay in the business and not get a job. And they wanted us to keep going to these personal growth trainings every weekend to keep our spirits up because it was such a hard business. And she was very young, and she wrote a bunch of bad checks that bounced. And by the time she was 25, she was in jail for fraud, for writing bad checks.
Oh, no. That's super rough. That's super rough. Did she get out?
She got out. She was only in there for a couple of weeks, but I mean... Right. That was a really bad, bad move. Had she had been doing that business as a side hustle, she would not have gone to jail as a 25-year-old girl. And then, gosh, my horror story with doing that is I sold all the fine jewelry that my mom gave me at pawn shops. I was surviving on peanut butter and rice cakes. And you know how you get the liter of hot and sour Chinese soup, like the big, like a family of four, that would be like my dinner. And I was just barely able to make it. I was sharing a one bedroom apartment with like five or six people, sleeping on the floor on futons and sleeping bags. But when I went to the office, I was wearing fancy business suits and driving around in a new Lexus. And we were all in our 20s, so I like to say we were the best-looking group of broke people I've ever hung out with in my life.
It's fake it till you make it, Rebecca.
That's
what
right.
You got to do. I love it. I've been in similar situations. Not quite as dire as prison or five people in one bedroom, but yeah, definitely had the car, the unregistered car with the crack in the windscreen and the hole in the floor I was given for free. I definitely had the apartment where we were stealing Wi-Fi from the cafe downstairs, and the runoff from the washing machine went into the bathtub. So, you know, you'd have all the grey water would go into the bathtub and you'd be having a shower and it would go on your feet. Rough stuff.
Rough.
But we get there. So I could not more advocate the idea of multiple streams of income and just putting your ego on hold for a couple of years while you build up a bit of a safety bubble there. I love that to bits. Really exciting. And the network marketing thing's interesting. So you're still doing that. And I imagine you would have found some level of success in that now. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't still be doing it.
I swore it off after that experience. And during COVID, I could not work at the Children's Acting School because I've been working in the Children's Acting School business. I've been applying the law of attraction to this all commission sales job, and I was making six figures working part time, and I had, you know, the fancy condo and car and lifestyle, and I was given like $2,000 a month of unemployment during the pandemic. And I was like, this is not going to cut it. This is not going to pay my bills. So how can I make money online without a lot of startup? And I remembered that I had a good friend that I had met 20 years ago in that first network marketing company. She had stayed in the industry, figured it out. She was making six figures monthly, not annually, monthly. And I asked her to mentor me, and it's worked out. I mean, I'm doing it now part-time, and I have a multi-million-dollar sales team. And I don't want to do it full-time. That's the thing. It's like, I love it, but it's not that intellectually stimulating to me. Although the products are great and I love mentoring people in it, I like having the life coaching and the podcast and the other things.
Awesome. That's really good. I never found much success in network marketing. I could never quite get into it as much. Yeah. I had flashes in the pan, as you said before, you know, weeks where I just bring in like seven people, you know, and then just no one for a year, you know, but the residuals got smaller and smaller. It's interesting that you've got a, in your, you know, always ready to answer questions on your podcasting profile that we all have, there's a couple of things about resilience. And resilience is interesting because I suppose that your stories of these nightmarish days of, you know, way too much hot and sour soup and not enough space on the floor probably created a good amount of resilience in you. And I'd love to know kind of what role do you think resilience has played in your ability to get to where you are today, so confident, successful, and doing whatever it is you want to do?
I think resilience is the number one trait in success. And people think success is easy, and it's not. There is a lot of rejection involved, and there's a lot of failure involved. But I don't like to say the word failure because I believe I either win, I get what I want, or I learn. But a lot of people who think they want to be entrepreneurs, they get rejected, or they try a business or a coaching course and it fails and they're just done. They're like, I'm done. I quit. And they don't have the resilience muscle. Mm. And I'm telling all your people listening, resilience is the number one quality to success, because being an entrepreneur, as you know, Alex, it's a roller coaster. You know, there's highs and lows. And when you're building a new business, it seems like it's just totally uphill. And the only thing that you have is your own resilience to keep going. So I like to say, embrace the suck. Know that the beginning, the first few years is going to suck, and embrace it. It's like embracing a really hard workout. You don't work out for it to be so easy. You know your muscles are going to get sore. You know you're going to get winded. And that's why people love a hard workout. So embrace that hard part of it.
It is funny, that metaphor, that, you know, people are so used to the fact that you've got to go and work hard, break down muscle fibers to come back stronger. But when it happens mentally, it's so much harder to deal with. And in business, you know, so many people get disillusioned, and it's probably quite akin to, you know, January 1st at the gym versus February 1st. People realize that it kind of sucks and everyone wants to start a business and be a, you know, Instagram entrepreneur, that sort of thing. But a few months in, it can get a little bit rough, and it doesn't really stop there, does it? I mean, you still have rough days in your business, I'm sure, Rebecca.
Oh yeah, I do. And because I teach, you know, keep your vibe high, and it's all about the law of attraction, people think I'm always positive, but you can ask my husband, because he's the one who gets the frustration when I'm having a tough day. He'll hear about it. And I told him, look, I'm going to want to quit a million times. Your job is just not to let me quit. Just keep me up so I don't quit. And he's been doing that, believe it or not. So it's working out in that way and many other ways. But yeah, he knows that I get down on myself at times.
I love that. Yeah, we need that. Is your husband entrepreneurial as well, or is he working?
He's an entrepreneur as well.
Okay, beautiful. That's That's an interesting environment that I'm not used to. My dad and we both run businesses, and my mom and my wife both work jobs, and so we're both in the same sort of situation where they understand it now, but for a few years there, it's like, why can't you just have a paycheck, please? Why can't you just do what you're good at and just come home and we know that we can pay rent this week? That's really cool. How do two multiple business owners unwind come 5 p.m. Friday night? Do you do that? Do you feel the need to unwind? I'd love to hear a bit more about the dynamic in your household.
We unwind by watching TV together
Okay.
almost every night. We do have one date night a week. We watch a lot of different shows. All the shows that probably people in Australia love, like Ozark, Succession.
Yeah.
We love The Crown. Right now we're watching And Just Like That. We
It's
just
a bit
get
of
a
a
little
change.
I know it's a bit of a change, right? It's disturbingly superficial. We just watch unwind by watching TV, and it's funny because he's hustling, I'm hustling. We have one home office, and we kind of take turns and dance around each other and touch base in between Zoom calls. It's fun. It's like we're taking over the world from a two-bedroom condo in Venice. It's pretty awesome.
I love that. That's so great. Ozark, Succession, these shows, they are by no means a very good wind down for me, Rebecca. I think that especially Ozark, it's like you finish a stressful day at work, let's just keep you on edge for another hour and just kind of li send you to bed full of anxiety. That's what it did for me. But
Yeah, I mean, but it's an escape from that kind of stress, and adrenaline is an escape from the daily stress of building a business. And you just get,
totally.
I mean, yeah, watching those shows, Ozark and Succession, it's like you're wrapping yourself into a pretzel just trying to follow the plot. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know what's actually good in terms of resilience and stress in day-to-day business? Watching things like Succession and just seeing that the people up that end of business into the billions, every conversation they have is like the worst conversation I would have for a whole
Ever
week, ever. You know,
for a
the way.
lifetime.
Exactly, yeah. The way they're so mean to each other all the time, and it's never just like a friendly chat. It's always just a harsh back and forth, just consistent, I don't know, just tension in their lives, and it actually makes me feel a little bit better, which is good.
Yes, I mean, that's an American thing. I'm sure Australians would never talk so meanly to each other.
No, I'm sure we do. I think we're a lot more passive in Australia and England. It's a lot less direct for sure. I'm from England, and you kind of a restaurant manager I used to work for. He had a really good quote written on the wall at the back, which was like, "In Australia, people won't complain about their meal; they'll pay for it and then complain to their friends about it." So we've got to really ask for feedback all the time to make sure we're doing it right. Otherwise, they'll actually worsen the reputation of our business without giving us a chance to fix it. Whereas I believe that having been to America quite a few times, you guys, yeah, you're much more upfront with your conversations with people. And that's actually really good as a business to hear negative or critical feedback.
We're very direct. Another way that we blow off steam is an Australian gym franchise that I'm sure you know, F45.
Yeah.
We are obsessed with doing that, and we work out together 3 mornings a week. He does it 5 days a week. I skip the cardio days and go for a walk instead. But we love F45.
Started right around the corner from here.
Really?
F45. Yeah, I used to serve the guy who started F45. I used to make him coffee every morning. And yeah, he was an interesting dude, very messy child who used to be at his table. So it sounds like, your husband sounds like a wonderful dude. Maybe a little more committed to the cardio than yourself, but who can blame you? But it sounds like, you've really said you're so happy to be newlywed in this first 2 years of your marriage. Sounds like it's going great. And now, moving away from business, the another arm of your coaching practice is helping women with relationships, and you've got a new course called Manifest Your Soulmate in 7 Simple Steps. As a man with a lisp, I wish you'd call it something different, because it's a bit tricky for me to say that one, Rebecca, but that's okay. Talk to me about this one, because this is that's a pretty massive claim, Manifest Your Soulmate. In terms of, where did it come from? Where was the idea for this program, firstly?
I looked at what I did because I went through such a traumatic path in my love life. I studied the law of attraction. All the great spiritual teachers come through LA and they lecture. Michael Beckwith, Abraham Hicks, Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson. And I really applied it very well to my finances. And like I said, I was making 6 figures working part-time in the kids' acting school business, which is unheard of. But I did not apply it so well to my love life. And I kept picking emotionally unavailable narcissistic men, getting hurt. And it was after a 3-year marriage that ended in a painful divorce where he sued me for spousal support that I just was done. I was like, I'm just done. I have a terrible picker. My picker is broken. I'm just going to hang out with good vibe, high energy people and dogs, and if I'm not meant to have a man in my life, I'm good. And it was right when I gave up that I met Ben. I was going to do a 90-day dating detox. Don't talk to men, think about men, nothing. I couldn't have even have done this podcast. Like, literally, I was like detoxing from men. And I threw, the weekend before my book launch party, I went to a party thrown by the owner of my gym. I invited everyone from the gym to my book launch party the following weekend, and the only person who showed up was Ben, and he invited me to dinner, and he said he'd like me to sign the book at dinner, and we've been together ever since. So what I did was I said, wow, how did I go from having toxic relationships and a terrible divorce to having this totally different style of relationship where it's compassionate, kind, no drama, and I reverse engineered it, and that's how I came up with the 7 steps to manifesting your soulmate.
I love it, and what a great story! What a move by Ben, you know. bring the book to dinner. That's mad.
What's a power move?
Yeah, you know what stands out to me in that story, which is really interesting, is that manifesting or sort of law of attraction, the way I understand it, is kind of being open to receiving what you want and kind of almost expecting it or expecting that it's already happened. However, you just said that you'd written off men or you're about to write off men. So it feels like you were in a complete unmagnetized state to welcome Ben into your life. Do you think that had some sort of aspect as to why it works so well?
I think that when you have so much energy around something for so long, it could be manifesting love or making a ton of money, that you build a case against why it's not going to happen for you. So I had a case built. I had a bad story, like all the good ones are taken. I'm too old. I'll always be alone. Internet dating is BS, like all that stuff. I had a really bad case. So if I would have painted affirmations on that, it would have been disingenuous and I would have had the same like, oh God, like I'm totally ready for the one. Like, yeah, right. I wasn't. So what I did was I just disengaged any energy on it and I surrendered it to the universe and I just didn't think about it because when I thought about it, it was negative. And I really think that if there's something in your life that you're stuck on, you have a limiting belief around it, it's sometimes better just to not think about it at all or put any energy on it at all. And that's what I did. And as soon as I kind of got my ego and my bad stories out of the way, he came in.
Got it. So is that a little bit like, you know, people say that if your goal is to not be overweight, then you'll only get to a certain point and then go back. However, if your goal is to be lean and energetic, you're moving towards something rather than away from something, that's a lot more effective as I understand it.
Yeah, you could say that, or you could say to do a totally different weight loss analogy, if you are trying to lose weight and you have a piece of chocolate cake in the refrigerator and you're obsessed about it, saying, oh my God, I can't eat the chocolate cake, I can't eat the chocolate cake, I can't eat the chocolate cake, then all you're going to want to do every time you open the refrigerator is eat the chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Just get it out of the house. Don't even think about the chocolate cake. So
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, just, you know, it's a little different analogy than what you made, but it's just like, don't put any energy on it if you're running in circles.
Got it. It's like, I think it's a line in like Ocean's 11 where he says, if I say, don't think about elephants, what are you thinking about? Immediately think about elephants. You know, you think about, you're putting energy on the negative result. Love that. Awesome. Would it be far too, you know, intrusive of me to ask you about some of the 7 simple steps of manifesting your soulmate?
No, not at all. I'll go through some of them. So the first one is to process and release your past. Because if you do not process your prior relationships, you're going to keep having the same pattern over and over and over again. So that is the first step. The next step after that is radical self-acceptance. Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'll find my love when I lose 10 pounds, make more money, move apartments, get a new car. And they keep putting off love. But you don't have to be perfect in every way to attract the love of your life. After that, radical self-acceptance is deciding who it is that you want to attract. Because if you don't know who it is, like, how are you going to know them when they show up? And it's not like a list of physical attributes. It's more, how do you want to feel when you're with them?
Yeah.
So those are a few. And then I talk about how to act on the first date to ensure getting a second and third date, how where to find people.
Yeah.
So how to actually call it how to fish.
Got it.
How to date multiple people, which is very controversial. I believe in dating multiple people until you are intimate, and then how to negotiate for a relationship when you do want to be intimate with someone, and then how to act in a relationship where you're committed and not driving the other person away. So those are the summary of the 7 steps.
I love it. It sounds like your business manifesto of multiple streams of income is falling into your dating manifesto of multiple streams of conversation. And that's really interesting. But
it's all about diversification, Alex.
I love that. I love that. We're not burning those boats, because I suppose that could be, you know, I've been with my wife since we were like 19, you know, and so not very well versed in this area, and dating sounds, you know, a bit tricky and terrifying to me. But I suppose you'd learn an awful lot. Like in business, you can't know exactly what you want until you find out what you don't. Almost.
Yes. And I'm so happy that you married your childhood sweetheart and did not have to go through the whole internet dating, swiping app thing. It's crazy out there.
No, because I can't take a very good photo. You know, I never seem to, I can't translate myself into photos, I feel. I don't like it. And so I feel like I would just endlessly struggle on being judged by a picture. And I'd make some dumb joke in my profile, and it wouldn't be accepted very well, and I get, you know, kicked off the platform or something. Goodness me. Can I ask you a question about the concept of a soulmate, Rebecca Whitman?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean this in a way of curiosity, not as challenging you. Ben is undoubtedly your soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
Ben also happened to go to the same gym as you and live quite close by. If there's 8 billion people in the world, who's to say Ben's your soulmate, even though he is, but who's to say my soulmate is living in the same village as me as opposed to in Somalia, you know?
That's a great question. So there are something called twin flames, which are two souls that come down into the world together, masculine and feminine, and they separate. That's more like the one. And I used to have what I call one-itis. I would think, are you the one? Are you the one? I go to the grocery store, to the bar. Are you the one? Are you the one? Now I don't think there's just the one other than the twin flame, which is often a very tumultuous, volatile relationship and not very peaceful. So there's many soulmates. Soulmates are just people that you feel an immediate familiarity with. I'm sure you've struck up a conversation with someone and you have like deja vu, or you feel like, oh my God, like we don't even have to make small talk. We can just boom, like get right into a deep conversation. You can have soulmate friends, lovers, even pets.
Podcast guests.
Podcast guests. Oh, you're calling me your soulmate.
I think we had fun from the second we got on here. I think this has been great.
That's right. We just connected. So it just means that there's a familiarity and a level of comfort, which I believe comes from like a past life connection.
That's really interesting, because that's, you know, I'm not cynical, but I am skeptical of a lot of concepts. And the soulmate is always one that I was like, yeah, you know, Ali's, I got in a fight with an old girlfriend saying that, you know, I don't, she's like, do you think we're soulmates? And I was like, I think we just, you know, met each other at a party. Now we get along really well and we've developed into being this, but I don't think we were put here for each other. But I've got, you know, a lot of, you know, beliefs like that. You know, I'm not particularly religious or whatever, that sort of thing. So that's really interesting. Okay, beautiful. Now, I'm always interested in marketing as a marketer. I love this stuff. What's your process for marketing this program? Because they say that the three things people are marketing are health, wealth, and relationships. You're doing relationships in this sense, but it is a bit of a tricky topic. People can get pretty defensive if you are talking about relationships and the fact that they're single, maybe for a reason. What's your marketing process like for this program, and how do you do it in a way that's sort of accepting and sensitive rather than, you know, I suppose making people feel bad for not having this in their life?
I have done it the wrong way before, where I did videos for Instagram and I just went right into the pain points. I didn't like identify my own story. I think that facts tell and stories sell. So if you share your own story with something, like I just shared with you that I had such a painful experience with relationships, and then I figured out a way that has manifested my soulmate, and now I'm having a totally different style of relationship and I'm really happy, and I want to show you how I did it in 7 simple steps. I think that's different than just going right at the pain points. Like, are you tired of being lonely? Are you tired of being single? Are you tired of like going on terrible internet dates where the people are, you know, not even looking like their profile pic? Like, it's more soft. It's a softer approach. Like I said, people are sales averse right now. There's so many people selling things online. And I have learned to change my style because I was way too like direct. I am learning to be more about connection and relationship and really taking time on like, I call them breakthrough calls, discovery calls, whatever you people call them, to really like form a true connection with someone where I actually care about their well-being and I'm not so attached to whether they sign up with me or not, and just building a more of a long-term relationship.
Love it. Love it. And are you aiming to have people come out of this program having found that person, or are you aiming to just to develop them into somewhere where they feel like they can do it?
I'm giving them the roadmap. I don't expect them to manifest their soulmate in 8 weeks, although anything's possible.
Yeah.
I am also doing something different. I'm committed. I have a free women's circle every Tuesday at noon Pacific. And I'm committed to allowing any graduate of my program to get free coaching with me every Tuesday until they get the results they want, which is totally counterintuitive to everything I ever wanted to do. But I just felt like I was, you know, having people graduate from 8-week programs and then losing them. And I want them to stay in contact and in my community. And now that I've been doing these free women's circles, I only started it 2 or 3 months ago. I feel like I now have like a place to hold people until they meet their soulmate and to keep working with them. So now I can give them a money back guarantee and say, well, not money back, but I will work with you every Tuesday and I will keep coaching you until you meet your soulmate.
I love that. I think that's one of the best guarantees in terms of giving guarantees in a service-based business like this. It's, we'll get you to this point or work with you for free until you do. And we've done that in marketing as well. If someone just, we just can't get their ads to click over the first, 3 months of them working with us, just stick around. You just stick around. We'll keep going. We'll keep going. We'll work for free. And, just if you want to keep having a crack, then we are here. We've definitely done that before. And I don't like to leave people hanging, and I'm sure you don't either, because it sounds to me, Rebecca, that you really truly care about your clients and the outcomes of their lives. And it's showing because you've got a great business and it looks like you've got a great life. And I know that you've got a deadline today. So I'll
We have
thank you so
a few
much.
more minutes.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just gonna keep talking smack.
I'm enjoying this conversation. You are an incredible, incredible host, and anybody who listens to this podcast is in great hands because I can tell you really care about your audience and are really trying to bring them solutions.
Thank you. The coaching space is a funny one where there's no barrier to entry to become a coach. You can just call yourself a coach, and because of the way that it's presented on social media, so many people are led down a path of believing they can get an instant overnight success in the coaching space, that it'd be very simple. And I hate that people do that, because it's not true. It was not true for me. I struggled for years. And so now that I've got some, facet of security and sustainability in my business, I want to help coaches with some tangible advice from people like yourself who have made it in that industry. Because they're not short on heart, but they're often short on business acumen. And that's what we're trying to do here, is just say, how has Rebecca Whitman managed multiple streams of income? How has she been How does she take completely losing a job during the pandemic and now have multiple programs that are working? And you've given us those answers today. And yeah, really, really happy to have had you on. And I can't wait for you to go out there and find the next Dakota Fanning.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for having me on your show. It's been a pleasure. And I do want to offer your listeners a gift. I have an incredible tool that has really helped me with resilience, like we talked about. When I was a teenager, I went to a 12-step meeting and I met a woman named Janet. And she told me, this is how you write in a God journal. And I never saw her again. I really think that she was heaven sent. And I've been using her journal questions and I added a few of my own. I've been doing this as a morning practice every morning now for almost as old as you are, for about 30 years. And and I have gone through life's ups and downs, and it's this journal practice and these questions have helped me learn from my successes and my failures and learn from other people and just kept my mind bright, my vibe positive. And it has been the biggest tool in my climb to success. And it's changed my life. It's changed thousands of other people's lives. And I want to offer it as a free gift to your listeners.
The Abundance Journal. So exciting. Yeah, thank you so much. We will put the appropriate link in the show notes of this one. So wherever you're watching or listening to this, it'll be up, down, below, or to the side of this show. And yeah, from everything we've got from Rebecca today, I bet that's going to be a really valuable resource. So thank you for your generosity in that gift and your time and energy with us today.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you. And anyone listening, or indeed watching it, we love you for that. I'll be back next week with another one or two episodes of Coaches to the Moon. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Much love and peace out. Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To the Moon Digital Marketing.